VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. And ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. House of Representatives is full steam ahead on pursuing impeachment. It was late yesterday that the House Intelligence Committee, which is controlled by a Democrat majority, voted right along party lines, 13-9, to adopt its report, now sending it to the House Judiciary Committee. Public hearings now began today. Closed-door secret meetings led up to all of this. Republicans had been refused multiple times to call witnesses. Selectively leaked details would emerge from time to time in the media. One Judiciary Committee member referred to this as being unfair and politically biased, as Congressman Gates of Florida called it a fairy tale told secondhand with hearsay and conjecture. New York Post yesterday contained the headline, Schiff Impeachment Report Offers Nothing But Predetermined Conclusions. Well, sorting all of this out today, we welcome back Jim Simpson, an investigative journalist, businessman, and former economist and budget examiner for the White House Office of Management and Budget under Presidents Reagan and H.W. Bush and Clinton. He writes for Breitbart, Daily Caller, Washington Times, Town Hall, Accuracy in Media, and others. He's the author of several books, including The Red-Green Axis 2.0, An Existential Threat to America and the World, also The Patriot's Handbook. Jim, nice to have you back with us here today on Crosstalk.
Hey, Jim, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. And after the charade that's been going on for weeks, it was just Monday of this week, we have this 300-page report released by Congressman Adam Schiff. It's now passed by the House Intelligence Committee, right along party lines, 13-9. I'd like to read one paragraph from this report and have you comment on it, Jim. It says,
sure.
The impeachment inquiry has found that President Trump personally and acting through agents within and outside the United States government solicited the interference of a foreign government, Ukraine, to benefit his reelection. In furtherance of the scheme, President Trump conditioned officials' acts on a public announcements by the new Ukrainian president, Zelensky, of politically motivated investigations, including one into President Trump's domestic political opponent, and pressuring President Zelensky to carry out his demand. President Trump withheld a White House meeting desperately sought by the Ukrainian president and critical U.S. military assistance to fight Russian aggression in eastern Ukraine. We're hearing that all over media today. Your response has one paragraph from this 300-page report.
It's a lie. It's just the whole thing is a contrived lie. And it's amazing because none of the evidence shows that that's what happened. But more to the point, the president, to the extent that he questioned the Ukrainians about the Bidens, it was his duty, not merely asking legitimate questions, but it's his duty. Joe Biden doesn't get a pass from potential criminal activity just because he's a presidential candidate or a well-connected politician. It's all outrageous. You know, I researched that issue a year ago. There is mainstream media reporting on how the Democrats colluded with Ukrainians to dig up dirt on President Trump and especially Paul Manafort before he was even elected. So this is nothing more than Trump-Russia collusion 2.0. It is just a continuation of the nonstop effort to destroy him that was launched before he was even elected.
Republicans, they're arguing, Jim, that Democrats, they're ignoring the context of President Trump's concern that you just outlined about Joe and Hunter Biden, corruption in Ukraine. That is really critical that this enters into discussion, isn't it?
Well, it is, but they're not really merely ignoring it. What they're really doing is they're deflecting from it, distracting from it, in addition to doing everything they can to wreck his prospects for 2020. They're terrified of the facts coming out because the facts would prove them not only engaged in nefarious activities, but I would argue engaged in criminal activities.
Well, we also have Senator Lindsey Graham, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee, now requesting... the Senate Judiciary Committee, requesting the very call records of Joe Biden's various calls to the former Ukrainian president, because what he said then does enter into the very reason why President Trump has concern in all of this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what's interesting? I mean, the Democrats have gone so far, and this is shocking, and it should shock all Americans, that Adam Schiff accused Devin Nunes of colluding with the Trump campaign and people outside of government to create a false narrative about the Democrats, and he actually subpoenaed and obtained AT&T records of Devin Nunes' phone calls, of the phone calls of John Solomon, the Hill reporter that has really blown the lid off the entire Democrat Ukrainian activities that are really the thing that everybody should be looking at.
You know, I find it interesting that Adam Schiff called this the report evidence, but didn't we just hear hours of testimony from witness after witness who used words like, I heard, I felt, I presumed?
And we heard no evidence. We heard that said by many of the people that they pulled up to get evidence from. They said no evidence. No, there was no evidence. From Ambassador Solomon, what is his name? I can't remember off the top of my head. Sondland, Ambassador Sondland, saying no, actually, there was no evidence. And he excluded that from his 23-page introductory statement. He excluded that one little factoid from his statement, claiming that there wasn't enough room for it. That's one sentence.
Mm-hmm. That was,
and you know, I'll go further than that. Sondland was pressured. There was a Democrat congressman from Oregon who initiated an economic attack on Sondland's hotel chain, a boycott of his hotel chain by leftist activists, and Sondland's wife pleaded with him to do exactly what the Democrats wanted because it was hurting their business. And when Sondland testified, that congressman tweeted, "Welcome to the resistance, Ambassador Sondland."
Wow.
Yeah.
Jim Simpson with us here today, investigative journalist. He's a businessman and also served under the Reagan, H.W. Bush, and Clinton administrations. I think it's also good just to refresh the memories of our listeners because, I mean, all the news is a buzz about how this committee passed this, and now it's over in the House Judiciary Committee at this point. But share, again, just in brief, the very unfairness, how this was so stacked against the Republicans, the denials that they had for witnesses, etc.
Oh, it's unprecedented. The entire thing is and has been unprecedented. Republicans were not allowed to bring witnesses in the little secret meetings that they had in the secure facility downstairs in the House of Representatives. And it wasn't secure because there was any secret testimony being given. It was secure because the Democrats didn't want the public to find out what the people who they were interrogating were saying, because a lot of what they were saying would not hold up with the Democrats' narrative. And it's amazing. And then once they went public, the Republicans were not allowed to bring people to testify on any other notions than what the Democrats were pushing. It simply defies belief that they could be so overtly thuggish in the public square, and the only reason they get away with it is because the mass media has fallen lockstep in with them and is literally putting a lid on the truth, literally preventing the American people from learning any aspect of the truth. It's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening that the media would be so complicit in such a bald-faced lie.
Yeah. Well, we know that the GOP report just totally opposite, saying that, hey, evidence does not prove the allegations of the Democrats.
Right.
So
what
do we know about their released report?
Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, I haven't read it. I've been very busy with another project I'm working on, but we already know the outlines of that. It's what they've been saying all along. It's what Devin Nunes said in his statements. It's what Republican representatives said during the hearing when they had an opportunity to talk. And there's no there, another one said. There's just nothing there. And but the problem is, with all of this stuff, you know, the way they have rigged it, that simply becomes a he said, she said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if they're not allowed to offer evidence, they're not allowed to ask questions of other witnesses who would actually say what the truth is. It's simply a matter of he said, she said. And that's what the Democrats wanted. That's what they wanted to rig it to be, because they can always claim that it's just a partisan Republican response, and the media will back them in that.
Were you surprised that every committee member voting with Chairman Schiff, lock, stock, and barrel, I mean, completely, not one dissenting from it?
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. That's what the Democrat Party is today. It is an ideologically cemented to the left. It is absolutely ideologically cemented to what the leadership wants. And woe to any Democrat who goes off the reservation.
So with this now going to the House Judiciary Committee with Chairman Nadler, are you expecting the same outcome there, the same railroading of these issues?
Well, we'll just have to see. They might have a few more problems with that, because in that case, they are actually having to, make the case. It was totally... They had never, ever used the Intelligence Committee before to conduct hearings. It should have been conducted in the Judiciary Committee all along, but there are stronger rules, evidentiary rules, for the Judiciary Committee, so they're going to have a tougher time, but they'll still try to spin it their way.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Jim Simpson, our guest. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Jim Simpson with us today, and we're talking about the impeachment inquiry, which is now gone past the House Intelligence Committee, voting along party lines 13-9. Now over in the House Judiciary Committee, I looked like that was stacked somewhere about 24 or so to 17 in the House Judiciary Committee. And there was no time wasted here, Jim. I mean, we got the report on Monday. Tuesday, we have the House Intelligence Committee voting. And now Wednesday, we've got meetings going on in the House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Well,
it's amazing. And they want to drag it out as long as they can.
Yeah. Well, some have said that, hey, they're pressured to be voting before Christmas time. They want to have them impeached before Christmas.
Yep.
Any substantiation to that?
Well, that's what everybody is saying. You know, I guess we'll just have to see. I think all of that stuff is malleable. You know, if they get what they think they want or the best that they think they can get, yes, they'll do it as soon as possible, but otherwise, they'll try to drag it out as long as possible to get whatever it is they want out of it.
I think it's also interesting, just looking at some of the different news services, Breitbart reported that Schiff's House Intelligence Committee has at least two staffers with ties to a think tank partially funded by Burisma Holdings. One of the staffers is reportedly a friend of the man suspected of being the whistleblower. And now I saw WND.com reporting that Schiff hired a colleague of the alleged whistleblower the day after the call with the Ukrainian president and President Trump. Something smells fishy here, Jim.
Well, he's not a whistleblower. He's a leaker. Eric Jarmila, that's his name, for anybody that doesn't know, that is the whistleblower. That's not the alleged whistleblower. That is the guy's name. He's not a whistleblower. He's a leaker. He was in the Obama administration's National Security Council. He comes from the CIA. And when Mike Flynn was browbeaten out of the National Security Council, and I hope after he has his name cleared, he sues a lot of people for a lot of money and gets it because he deserves it. But the person who took his place was H.R. McMaster, who was a deep state operative from the word go. H.R. McMaster kept on Eric Jarmila as his chief assistant. And in that role, Eric Jarmila could look at all the calls that President Trump made to all foreign leaders. So, and when McMaster was thrown out for leaking, Jarmila went back to the CIA, but he had an opportunity to do significant damage, and he is connected to the Bidens, he is connected to the Democrats, he is a big Hillary supporter. This guy is a partisan activist. That's the way to look at it. And what he did wouldn't have even met the rules for a whistleblower, except that the guy in charge overseeing that changed the rules so that his hearsay evidence could be used.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a fraud. The entire thing is a fraud. But what we have to remember, what people have to think about, you know, we tend to, whenever the Democrats accuse Republicans or conservatives of anything, we always go on the defensive. No, I didn't. We didn't do that here. There's no proof of that. Show the proof. We always go on the defensive. We need to remember that a big part of the reason they're doing this, and I would argue the biggest part of the reason they're doing this, is a deliberate misdirection to take people's eyes away from the criminality and all the stuff that they engaged in, which is exactly what they are accusing President Trump of doing.
Now, you named the alleged whistleblower. You
call him alleged.
A leaker. But let me say this. Maybe you can gain audience with Chairman Schiff because he doesn't know who it is. I mean, he's, yeah, but yet he's very, you know, guarding. Don't reveal who it is. Don't reveal.
Yeah.
But I don't know who it is.
Yeah. The whole thing's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's truly unfortunate that most people still get their news from the networks at 6 o'clock for 5 or 10 minutes, and they're just not privy through all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really unfortunate. And then, of course, we have the tech giants trying to deplatform and silence anybody that tells the truth. So, you know, these are scary times we're living in here.
I'd like you to hear, because hearings got underway this morning in the House Judiciary Committee. This is a committee chaired by Chairman Nadler, but there was an opening statement at this impeachment hearing where we have George Washington University Law School professor Jonathan Turley, and it was interesting, as he said today, he said, I was not a supporter of President Trump. He said that he didn't vote for him, voted for two Democratic presidents. I want to quote from him and get your response to this. He said, today, my only concern is the integrity and coherence of the constitutional standard and process of impeachment. President Trump will not be our last president. What we leave in the wake of his scandal will shape our democracy for generations to come. I am concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. He also said that that President Trump's policies or actions still conclude that the current legal case for impeachment is not just woefully inadequate, but in some respects dangerous as a basement for the impeachment of an American president.
Yeah, no, well, he's absolutely right, but that of course means he's just a hater and Islamophobe, and he probably secretly voted for Trump, you know.
Yeah, right. But it's interesting. His perspective is saying, "Hey, this current legal case for impeachment, it's not only woefully inadequate; it is dangerous the way that the pathways are taking us on this."
Well, no, that's exactly right. And people should really focus on the fact that this is how far Democrats are willing to go to obtain their objectives, you know, and this is while we yet have something of the semblance of a remaining constitutional republic. They're taking a wrecking bar to that deliberately in practically everything they do. I mean, we have Elizabeth Warren stepping out and saying, when I'm elected president, this is the last election that will ever be decided by an electoral college.
Yes, yes.
That should terrify everybody. I mean, everything they're doing, whether it includes the various types of rigged voting that they are trying to get passed and already have passed in some places, like, for example, the vote harvesting in California, this is all just legalized vote fraud, really. And what they're willing to do and how far they're willing to go with all of these issues, leaving the borders open so that drug gangs can come in here, so that illegals can come in here. You know, I talk about that a lot in my Red Green Axis 2.0 book. There are in five states. Well, this was as of 2015, because that's when the latest data that was available when the Government Accountability Office put the report out. But there were over 9,000 illegal aliens in prison in five states, state prison, not counting local or federal prisons, for homicide. So those are 9,000 Kate Steinleys. Those are 9,000 people that have only died because of the open borders agenda of the radical left.
Wow.
And they could care less. They don't care how many Americans are murdered, how many American women and children are raped. They don't care about any of that stuff because their open borders agenda will facilitate a change, ultimately, they hope, in the voting demographics that will help them obtain an unbeatable majority. And when that happens, that's the end of our country, folks.
Jim Simpson, our guest here today, and as we mentioned in the intro, we're also just mentioning that he is author of the Red-Green Axis 2.0. Jim, where is it that our listeners can get a copy of this book?
Well, they can get it on Amazon. If they go to Amazon and just search James Simpson, all of my published books will pop up there. They can also go to the securefreedom.org website. That is the website of the Center for Security Policy, which published that book. And if they search my name, I have a number of in-depth studies on that website. In addition, they can download a free PDF of that book and my earlier Red-Green Axis book for free. Totally ruins my marketing plan, but there you have it.
Well, and where is that at?
Securefreedom.org.
Very good. Jim Simpson, our guest here today. Chairman Nadler, now head of the House Judiciary Committee, but he sang a different tune some years ago under the Clinton administration. Just here's a brief clip from what he said during that time. Let's listen.
That an impeachment of a president is an undoing of a national election. And one of the reasons we all feel so angry about what they are doing is that they are ripping from us, they are ripping asunder our votes. They are telling us that our votes don't count. And that the election must be set aside.
Well, that's then, it's now. he's not holding that viewpoint any longer, is he?
No, well, you know, hypocrisy was never anything that really bothered Democrats very much. And you know, they can rely on the mass media to ignore those past remarks when it serves their purpose. It's a disgrace. But it just, once again, it reinforces the whole idea. They do not mean a single word of what they say. They know they don't mean a single word of what they say. And they are relying on the media to cover it up, to hide it for all of them.
Yeah. The media has been carrying their water for some time.
Years, yeah, decades.
And as we take a look at this, so it's in the House Judiciary Committee. They're going to have their hearings for how many days, and then they're going to cast their vote. At that point, it goes to the full House of Representatives. But they're hoping to wrap all of this up by Christmas and then to the Senate. It's presumed that the House, some have said that they're going to impeach him. What does that do for a Trump administration? Some will say this will put a mark on him that will prohibit him from being reelected as president.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think it'll prohibit him, but it will make him getting elected more difficult. And that's really their goal, you know, if they can avoid getting the information about the Democrats and all their engagements in Ukraine. They were successful in avoiding exposure over their collusion with Russia to create the Steele dossier.
Yep.
So if they can similarly avoid the bad press that would come from the exposure to all their activities with the Ukrainians, it will hurt Trump. It will hurt Trump. It will make it that much harder. That's why we have to be out there fighting that much more to get ourselves and our friends to the polls to elect the president who deserves to be reelected.
Our phone lines are open here today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Taking your questions, your comments, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Jim Simpson is with us here today, an investigative journalist. He's a businessman, a former economist, budget examiner at the White House Office of Management and Budget, and with us today with a discussion on the impeachment inquiry, which passed the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, voted along party lines. It's been passed now on to the House Judiciary Committee, which began hearings today. I mean, talking about being on a greased skid, we're witnessing that very issue right now. And by the way, his you'll find his book on the Red-Green Axis 2.0, an existential threat to America and the world, available through securefreedom.org. Let's go to our phone lines are packed. We'll take your calls, your questions, comments on this issue. And then as you hear somebody hang up, that's your opportunity to give us a call. Write down the number, 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I want to know if this goes to the up into the Senate and they have a inquiry there, and then they cross-examine these Democrats, will they be allowed to plead the Fifth Amendment?
Will the Democrats be allowed to plead the Fifth, or who be plead the Fifth?
Well, the ones that are being interrogated, cross-examined,
mm-hmm.
will they be allowed to plead the Fifth Amendment, or is that out?
Well, pleading the Fifth Amendment allows you to maintain silence in the face of possible incrimination, self-incrimination. So it would presume that a question of criminal action has come up, and I doubt if there would be much of that. It would mostly be about what they said and what they exposed versus what the reality was given to them by their various witnesses, if you will. So I don't know that that would come up unless a senator had the gall, or not the gall, I shouldn't say that, the guts, to actually accuse credibly a member of the House of committing a crime. You know, I'd love to see it, but I, knowing the way the Senate is, I doubt it'll happen, and they would have to have a very strong case to push that idea.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay, thank you.
Blanche is calling next from Bainbridge, Ohio. Blanche, you're on the air.
Yes. What this Congress up here, what they're doing is to trying to totally destroy the whole foundation that America was on. It was built on the foundation of our freedoms, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, all these things that was our foundation of our country, and they are trying to turn it into a socialistic, communistic mm-hmm. country is what is going on up there. They have went out of their minds.
Yeah. Well, Blanche, thank you for that. And I know,
I agree.
Jim, yeah, the Red-Green Axis, I mean, that's at the very heart of this.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely is. No, I've long said, you know, and when you talk about socialism, really don't talk about socialism. Talk about communism, because, honestly, that's what they're about. Socialism, as perceived in the public mind anyway, is more gentle. It's democratic. It's, you know, we all get to keep our jobs. We all get to keep our houses and our cars and our freedom. But the government pays for everything. That's the sort of the public perception of socialism. But the socialism that most of the Democrats in the U.S. House and the Senate adhere to is actually communism, because what they really seek is control. And communism provides absolute control, and they have long since drifted over onto the dark side with that. So we would not see Western European-style, quote, socialism. Even though most Western European nations really aren't socialist, they're a mixed economy, what we will see is real, genuine communism.
See, the destruction of the United States of America.
And that's absolutely true. Absolutely
true. Exactly,
they're using
right.
every device they can to destroy our nation, to destroy our constitutional republic, everything that we believe in, everything we stand on. Everything you should look at from 30,000 feet as what I call an asymmetric military strategy of conquest and defeat. They are using the various agendas, and I include the transgender agenda, the radical sexual agenda, I include the immigration agenda. Everything that you can think of is all about turning our culture upside down and pushing more and more of our society under the control of the federal government.
Thank you, Blanche, for the call. We're going next to Santee, Minnesota, and Sharon, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just thinking to myself that this has been going on for over 3 years, and I found out that they're getting the money to pay for the hearings and stuff from the Social Security. Well, but it doesn't really matter because I think if the Democrats get in, the old people are going to be killed off and the crippled people are going to be killed off. And I'm just leaving everything in the Lord's hands. When it keeps getting worse, I spend my money on the Lord.
Well, thank you for the call here today. And certainly the turnaround of values that this nation was built upon is unfolding before our very eyes. And that's what Jim was just referring to. And in the book of Isaiah, Jim, it talks about woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And we're in such a time.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly right. And when I speak publicly, people always ask me, what should we do? What can we do? Well, first of all, there's no magic pill. What we need to do is going to require committed hard work on all our parts because we are so far behind. They have been working this agenda for decades. But I also say, and this is, I say, number one, we all need to pray.
Yay, amen.
We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for our forgiveness, for allowing ourselves to let this country drift into the culturally corrupt nation. It is the morally corrupt nation it has become. We have to ask God's forgiveness, and we have to beg for his help and his mercy, as they did in the day of Judges. And we have gotten ourselves a judge, but we need to make sure that that judge remains where he belongs and that we get a lot of other people along to help him. There are 40 million Christians in the United States today that are not voting. That is absolutely unacceptable. 15 million of those are not even registered. If you are a Christian and you are not voting, you are contributing to the ultimate destruction of this nation, and you have no business doing that.
Thank you, Sharon. In Minnesota, let's go now to Florida. Julie is calling in from Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air, Julie.
Oh, okay, thank you. My question is, will President Trump be given an opportunity to stand up for what the gabble of the Democrats are doing against him? Will he be able to stand up and defend himself? And will us Republicans be able to stand up against their gavel? And then also, President Trump has had a long list of things that he said, the promises that he made for our country, and he's really completed all of them but one. And I remember that one was to put Hillary Clinton in jail, and he has still not yet been able to do that. How can that be done? Because she's done more than what the Democrats are claiming President Trump has done.
There's a great website called MAGAPill.com, MAGAPill.com, that lists 9 pages or so, page after page, of his accomplishments. He's done enormous things that don't get reported and that go beyond what he promised. And everybody should look at that and realize just how great a job he's done in the face of daily obstruction from every quarter. It's literal amazing. Tom Homan, the former director of ICE, told me, he said, this president has done more. This was a year ago than when Trump had been in for 2 years. He said, President Trump has done more in 2 years than all the other presidents I worked for accomplished during their entire time in office, and he's worked for 6 presidents.
Well, wow, that's quite a statement. And thank you, Julie. And when does President Trump's voice? I know he was offered to come speak to the committee, but he sees the charade, the circus that's going on for this.
So I think they were wise to turn that down, because what that does is it gives it an air of legitimacy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, next, let's go to from Florida. Let's go to Michigan, Houghton, Michigan. Ben, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Hey, just some thoughts on, you know, every day we hear on conservative talk, they keep saying that the Dems, the left, the media has such a great hate for Trump, and they try to get things focused on, say that he talks poorly, that he tweets too much. But once America understands that, what does Trump stand for? Trump stands for America. He stands for our Constitution. And he is pushing our Constitution, making America great. It's the First Amendment, Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment of right to privacy and unlawful search and seizure and so forth. So who does the media and these different politicians, the left, hate? They hate our Constitution. Therefore, they hate you, America. And once America figures that out, the citizens, and realize that they hate you, anybody that believes in our Constitution, and just as your guest was saying, our Constitution gives us the right to own property, to own our cars, to have freedom, to, in the past, have our own health care and so forth. So once we start taking it more personal, and we're not just defending Donald Trump, of course they're after Trump because he's got the microphone, he's got the podium, but understand, America, these people hate you because you believe in the Constitution, the thing that gives you your freedom.
Ben, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Your assessment, Jim, of what Ben had to say.
Oh, you know, he's absolutely right. Trump is a symbol of America, and they're terrified of him because, you know, this is a repeat of 2010 when the Tea Party return to the GOP, both houses of Congress, and more state legislatures and governors than had existed since 1928. And it's the one thing that terrifies the left is the fact that Americans, because we are free thinkers, because we are innovators, because we think out of the box, we, when it comes necessary, we surprise them. We surprise them in a big way by doing the right thing, because we, many of us, intuitively know what that is, and we're willing to fight for it. And it shocks them because they are so dogmatic and systematized in their approach to things. It works on a ongoing basis, but they have no defense when we start innovating and we challenge them the way we are now. It terrifies, literally terrifies them.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute, picking up with more of your calls. Here on Crosstalk, Jim Simpson is with us on the impeachment inquiry. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. There is indeed an information warfare going on in the United States of America to change the worldview and the values and the conduct of Americans. This is being done in many ways. One is to take American values and make them un-American, to define them as being hateful, racist, bigoted. There was a time when all Americans, regardless of race, color, creed, or political affiliation, would agree on set American values. We agreed there were certain values that were absolutely necessary to maintain our constitutional republic. Those values must be destroyed in the hearts and minds of Americans if our constitutional republic is to be destroyed. Thus, American values are now being redefined as conservative values, Christian values, racist values. This is how you destroy a nation. Remove its values from the common playing field.
Thank you.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. With us today is an investigative journalist, businessman, former economist, and budget examiner for the White House Office of Management and Budget, Jim Simpson. He's also the author of the Red-Green Access 2.0, available at securefreedom.org. Let's go right back to the phone line. Sonia is calling in from Sparta, Wisconsin. Sonia, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, Sonia.
I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, one reason why they hate him so much is that look at how much of the human trafficking has been stopped since he's come in, and the drugs of how much he's stopped. I mean, sure, they did, you know, take out a few with the marijuana or whatever, but I mean, the heroin, the cocaine, I mean, all that stuff that he's doing, the Democrats, they hate that because I believe that they enjoy the drugs, and I believe that they enjoy the children. And that's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you. One of the things that we saw happen as well is that, well, look at the candidates that are running for the Democratic nomination. Everyone just seems to be stock and barrel here, too, with Planned Parenthood and President Trump. And I've heard pro-life leaders say this, Jim, that he has done more to advance the pro-life cause than any other president in the history of the United States.
Yeah, I know. And that's the amazing thing when you hear from alleged conservatives about how Trump's such a bad person and he's not a Christian. I'm not going to judge his his belief, but I judge what people by what they do. And by what he does, he has done more than any other president, despite their protestations to the contrary, to all of these causes. And the pro-life cause should just stand out to people. That should be a reason every Christian gets up to vote for President Trump. If nothing else. Nothing else. Doesn't matter how he tweets. Doesn't matter what he says. Look at what he does.
Let's go to Sardinia, Ohio. Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, this is before the 2016 election, I went through all my church, and I told them about what Franklin Graham is going to every state capital, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Christians need to get out there and vote.
Yeah.
And I told them, you know, this is what Franklin Graham said. Church, this is how many of you register to vote. This is how many you don't vote. Get out there and vote your biblical principles. Well, what I heard was, well, I'm a Democrat. I've always voted Democrat. And then when I tried to talk to them about, at the top of the platform, this nation has murdered over 60 million babies over the past 46 years. And, well, that didn't even register. And I'm so disappointed. And I'm still talking to them. I talked to them about the primaries. They dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, and thank you, Linda, for that. I'm kind of rushing because we have just a few minutes left. But, Jim, this matter of voting is so critical. As believers, we have our vote is a stewardship, isn't it? I mean, as to how we utilize it.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, the people who vote Democrat should step back and consider what they are setting our nation up for, because the Democrat Party is not democratic anymore. It is veered to the hard, extreme left. And those people who continue to vote for Democrats are consigning their children and their future generations to a life of indescribable misery, because it will become 10 times worse if they get the power that they seek, I guarantee you.
Let's get to Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Sandra, you're on the air.
Hi. I want to thank you for having this program. And also, I missed the website that I could see all of the things that President Trump has done. Could I get that once more time?
Yeah, it's MAGAPILL, MAGAPILL, PILL.com, MAGAPILL.com.
Okay, MAGAPILL.com. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for the call. Let's see, we've got Monica in Alabama. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just have a comment. All this impeachment, I know me and a lot of other folks, all this impeachment stuff is just makes us want to launch our lunch. And we're just sick and tired of Satan using the Democrats to try to discredit one of our greatest presidents. we've ever had. And I'll talk about voting. My cousin and my son, they weren't going to vote. They're Christians. And so I encouraged them to vote in the next election and vote for the one man that can help this country right now.
Thank you, Monica, for your call here today. And friends, as our guest has also talked about the importance of prayer in this election and prayer for the nation, even as things continue to unfold at this time, be praying that truth would surface and lies and deception would be exposed for what it is. Because, Jim, we have seen so much deception and innuendo and so forth that have surfaced through even these hearings.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true, and it's frightening. And I mean, I've personally experienced that in some venues. I've attempted to speak. We've been shut down at different venues. One in Michigan, a big, very devout Christian church. Myself and Christian pastor Sharam Hadian were going to speak.
Oh yes,
and they silent. They were intimidated into canceling the event at the last minute. And when I wrote an op-ed to the USA Today newspaper and to the Detroit Free Press, which is owned by USA Today, they refused to even respond to my request for an op-ed response to their very biased, one-sided reporting on that issue. And I mean, you're not even allowed an opposing opinion on the opinion pages. So I put a strong comment in their comment section, but you know, that's not read by all the people who subscribe to those newspapers. It's frightening that we've come to this point, and it just underscores and reinforces the message that we really, really have to get out there and defend our country. And, you know, the last caller said that some of the Christians weren't going to vote. If you're not voting, you're voting. But you're voting for the wrong person. So not voting is no excuse. And I can't stand it when I hear people say, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And so that sort of absolves me of any requirement to participate. False.
Yeah.
You are here, put on here on earth to declare God's message.
We're out of time here, but we're salt, we're light. Thank you so much, Jim, for being with us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.